You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We're bringing Theron Whitney back on the show, and so excited to have him on and introduce him to our audience as one of the next authors in our upcoming book. So really excited to do that. And Theron is the co-owner and vice president over at Zibio. Theron, welcome back, man. Great to work with you again.
Thanks, Adam. It's good to see you again.
All right, Theron. So we're going to get into Zibio, what you're doing over there, and also to get some updates on what's going on in the trade show industry overall. But before we do that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Theron, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Theron, what mission matters to you?
I would say helping my clients maximize the most out of their brand recognition, both marketing at trade shows, marketing at private events, anything that really has to do with getting their product or message out there.
Awesome. And great to have you back on. And I guess just to get this kicked off, I don't want to assume that all of our, you know, our new listeners and new audience have caught maybe some of the previous work we've done together. So maybe just start off by telling us a little bit more about what you're doing over at Zibio.
Sure. We are a company that designs and builds trade show exhibits, mostly for the trade show industry, also private events. We've also dabbled into retail, commercial industry, helping companies market themselves on the commercial level, but mostly trade show exhibits, which, you know, in the past, last year before, it was a bit of a challenge, but this year we're happy to say that trade shows have come back with a vengeance.
Yeah. Tell me more about that, because I remember the last time, it's been a while since we worked with each other, and you're kind of telling me, I believe, you know, it's starting to bubble, some things starting to happen, but where are we at now? Like, what are you seeing?
Since trade shows reopened last year around April, May of 2021, it's been phenomenal how many people are happy to get back out there and market themselves at trade shows, and not only market themselves, but also go attend trade shows, get out of the house, get out of the office, and go see friends and vendors that they haven't seen in a while, and show off all the new product that they're trying to put to market.
Okay, let me do a shameless plug for all trade shows right now. For anybody that's watching this that has not been to a trade show since everything opened back up, do it. Like, you are, just as an attendee, whether you're presenting or you have a booth, like, do it. Like, you're not. It's amazing. We did our first one back since everything kind of opened back up a while ago. It was out in Texas, and we were supporting the Texas FFA and Aaron Alejandro and his crew out there. And we were, 15,000, students were out there supporting and furthering the mission of the Future Farmers of America. And just to see people again, maybe it's just me, but just to be in the mix, to be handing out, business and getting cards and having that normal face-to-face in person. Like, I'm not against virtual, but man, something about a trade show, like the energy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So in terms of, since I know you're working directly with businesses and helping them and supplying their trade show needs, tell us a little bit more about like what they've been noticing from that end. Like, cause I feel like there has to be an uptick. Like, people are doing these trade shows and people are wanting to do business and look for new resources. Like, what have you seen on their end?
Yeah, I would say, now that I can compare last year to this year, there was a little hesitancy last year to go out to shows or to exhibit at shows, but This year, from what I'm getting since January, February timeframe, there's just been a huge increase in the number of attendees going to shows, clients looking to upgrade their exhibits, changing their message, new products that haven't really been out to market for a while. They're trying to get those pushed out there. So it just seems like it's both on both sides, both the attendee and the exhibitor side, where there's a lot of enthusiasm and a huge upswell in attendance since the past couple of years.
What do you feel makes the trade show industry and being part of that like unique? Like what makes that unique?
There are a lot of things, actually. The trade show industry is responsible for billions in revenue for the airline industry, for hotels, for restaurants, because they're bringing people to the different big cities out there for these big events, big trade shows. You're increasing the sales of other vendors down the line where, for example, we use other vendors for some of our materials. So you're helping acrylic manufacturers and wood suppliers and hardware suppliers. So, it's a crucial part of the nation's GDP.
Are there any trends that you're noticing from your vantage point? Because you've been in the industry a long time, first of all, and you've seen, the ups and downs, and I'd say everything in between from at least your tenure. Any trends that you're noticing that you find interesting?
Yeah, I would say in the past few years, I see a lot of people using backlit graphics, light boxes. They're going big with their presentation being lit from behind, and a lot of LED tiles. So modular, large screen tiles are being used at shows to get their message across, which didn't used to be the fact because they were so expensive, but now they've come down in price where people are getting their message out there with huge screens, and it's draws people into their booth like a moth to the flame.
What are some of the differences? And I'll ask you this question, and I'm kind of throwing you under the bus with it a little bit, but I know that you have a different vantage point because you're working with so many people and you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. So differences between working with a professional and professional company versus like having your team come together and just say, let's go show at that event. tell me some of like what you see from your vantage point.
I run into this all the time, actually, with customers who feel like, they can just take care of this and do it on their own. But there's so many details.
Yeah. So many details. Until they get in the middle of it and they're like, who forgot what or who did this?
Yeah, exactly.
We need electricity that doesn't just come with electricity.
Yeah, right. So there's details upon details. So you have to deal with multiple union agencies to set up your booth, to rent your power. To hang up your sign if you're having a sign hung. Sometimes you have to deal directly with the convention centers. There's labor companies that you have to use because in most cities you're not allowed to set up the booth yourself. It's a large scale. Smaller booths, maybe you can set it up yourself, but you have rules. You have to set it up within an hour without the use of tools. So there's a lot of different details that you need to be aware of. And every city is different as well. Every city has a different labor rate. Every city has a different drayage weight. If you go out and you buy a custom exhibit and you feel like, this is going to work great, and it's in 20 crates for a small space, now you've got to think about how much gas costs, and you've got the shipping cost of getting it cross country. So there's a lot of things to consider when you're out there thinking about getting a new booth or trying to get your existing one to a show.
Yeah. And some of the horror stories that I've heard just on my end, and this is just through my course of doing business, so I'm sure you've heard worse, is a lot of times people think they're gonna cut corners and take the shortcut of doing something, and it a lot of times it ends up being the long cut. Like they don't know the additional fee, they don't know this, they don't know that, and it ends up costing them more down the line than it would have if they hadn't used a professional in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's a good case in point is Murphy's Law runs trade shows, because I had a client one time that they wanted to have it shipped from one show to the next, from New York City down to San Antonio, Texas, and they only had 2 days to do it, and that was cutting it very close. And unfortunately, there was a mistake in the New York City end, and they weren't able to pick it up in time. And I didn't find out until I actually got to the show to help the client set up, and they said, oh, there's no booth. So we had to go to a fellow exhibit house in San Antonio, go through their rental inventory and just create something on the fly for the client that night. Wow. Fortunately, he was able to, you know, have a booth because we were able to be there and find a solution for him. But yeah, if you don't know how many things to deal with and freight companies, what you're dealing with them, you could run into a lot of problems and then have no booth.
Yeah. And the ultimate goal here really is that you want, and in my opinion, I'm a big fan of outsourcing things that we're not an expert in, right? I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm not trying to become an expert in something that doesn't make us money or bring in revenue or isn't aligned with our vision of where we want to be. So I'd rather have my, as a founder and a business owner, I'd rather have my team focusing on what they're going to do at the event, what they're going to say, how they're going to deal with follow up, who does what, like how the script's going to be, like who's going to be the one out in front, who's going to be doing this, who's going to be doing that. I'd rather have them running through that than thinking about who's going to bring the pens.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. I want to jump around here for a moment there. And so the upcoming book, for everybody listening, just so you know, we're going to keep this part of the conversation a little brief, a little surface level intentionally, because they're going to be coming back on the show when the book is live. And then we're going to do a deep dive into his writing and into his contribution. But high level, tell us a little bit more about what you plan on contributing to the upcoming book.
Basically, the topic is on loyalty, whether it be brand loyalty or customer loyalty. And in the 30 some odd years that I've been in the trade show industry, I've had a chance to really develop methods to help retain clients and kind of develop a relationship with clients so that in the long run, they're always with you no matter what, recession, pandemic. No matter what, you will always keep your clients. And so I'm trying to kind of share that information within the book.
Okay, we're going to jump off that topic, but just so you know, I have like 50 questions I could ask you right now that come to mind. But I want to circle back to trade shows. Again, we will be bringing Theron back on the show once the book is live, and I'm going to start asking those questions because I want to dig further into that concept. But circling back to trade shows, a lot of people watching this that either have wanted to be in trade shows and do that, or they currently are. From your vantage point, ton of experience in it, some best practices, like what are some of the things that you've seen people do, whether it's with the exhibit, the setup, wherever you go with this, that kind of make them successful and make it a successful event and experience going the trade show route?
Well, there's two types of exhibits. There's your portable exhibit and your custom exhibit, your large scale versus your small scale. For the small scale exhibitor, you want to make sure that, one, again, you know all the details of the show, what you can or can't do, when you can set up your booth, when it needs to ship. And you should be planning at least 2 to 3 months in advance. Don't try to plan for your show a month before you're going to exhibit, because you're just asking for trouble. For the custom side, you have a much bigger booth, a much bigger presence, so you have the potential of much more problems. So it's always best to start your thought process 6 months to 12 months out before your show. And then also give your vendor, your exhibit house, your or whatever vendor your choice is, give them plenty of time to help design and create a solution for you. And build it, because especially right now with supply chain issues, it's, I would say, lead times for production is about twice what it used to be. Wow. So you really have to pay attention to those. Otherwise, you're going to have problems as you get closer and closer to your show date.
Yeah, I can see that. And I can tell you personally, I've been on both end of the spectrum to where we're overnighting something or having something shipped. And it was way more expensive because we didn't plan appropriately, or maybe there was something that we forgot, like a promotional item. Case in point, I remember, I have to tell you this one, because when it happened, I thought of you. I was like, we had everything done, ready, set up. And I'm like, the coasters, we are going to give out Mission Matters support, like promotional coasters. And what does 1,000 coasters look like? And how much space does that take? And how do we get them to the event? All these things. And that was due to I was on the team there. And I think that was I'll throw myself into the bus on that one. I think that one was my responsibility, because I always thought coasters were cool. So that was my fault. Like all of that. And if we planned earlier, had we done some things a little bit differently, like that wouldn't have been the thing that would have kind of added a little bit more pressure at the end of the event, which it shouldn't have. And right. Yes, Theron, what you're thinking did happen. Murphy's Law did happen, and the coasters, I can't make the story up, they didn't go to the arena. They went across the street to the hotel I was staying in, and we did have the correct address on it. So it wasn't that. It was just the postal guy. He got it mixed up. He thought it was for the hotel. So yeah. And so we're frantically looking for our main promotional item. And literally an hour before the doors open, and somebody has the idea, hey, do you think the postal guy did it in the wrong place? And we're like, well, what other addresses are there? So we sent somebody to run across the street, and lo and behold, there they were.
Yeah, you lucked out.
Did get lucky. So Theron, just have to say, it's been great having you back here, and I need to know, what's next? Like, what's next for you? What's next for Zibio? Like, what's next on your plans and agenda?
Well, we've increased a lot of white label projects. Mm-hmm. So because of the pandemic, a lot of people in our industry either lost their shop or they closed down, but they still want to stay in the industry. So we have a lot more people, companies, event marketers coming to us and asking us to build their booths or solve some of their design needs. So we're seeing an expansion in that. And because of that, and because of the growth that we're getting very quickly, we're going to have to move our facility next year and grow at least another 5,000 square feet. So now we're kind of in that frame of mind of, okay, we got 1 year, we got to find a place and then move. And we've been in this place for 21 years. So we've got
amazing
21 years of, you know, stuff to a new place.
Wow. What a great story. I love it. And I can't wait to bring it. I'll be interviewing you, I'm sure, next year. You'll be back on, not just for the book, but we're going to be bringing you back on. And I can't wait to see the updates and like how that part of the move goes. I am not, as soon as you said 21 years, it's like I have mixed feelings. I'm like, oh man, that's for anybody I've never moved a business that's been in a location that long, but I'm just thinking about a house. You live in a house for 5 years. You think that everything's put away. You go to move and you're like, where did all this stuff come from?
Yeah.
It's in drawers. I didn't know we had that many drawers. So a move after that, honestly, like obviously on my end, not only moving, but on your end, I mean, that means there's success. The business is growing. You're adding a lot of value to the marketplace, and it's showing, because, you know, and not wishing anybody else anything bad, of course, but if you know, some of the other players are, you know, aren't able to execute what you are able to do, and you're able to add value to them and their ecosystem, what you're really doing is you're creating win-win scenarios and win-win solutions. And it's my opinion that people like that, their businesses and just in life, they're rewarded long-term. So I'm thrilled to hear that.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
What is the, I'm just curious, because I know, you know, there'll be some people that may fall into that framework, and they may need to, they may want to connect and follow up and learn more about what that entails. Just broad strokes, like what does something like that look like, or what does a relationship look like?
You mean in terms of being a white label service?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's news to me. I mean, I don't think we've ever covered that one before. So I'm just curious, like just broad strokes, what that might look like. And I don't mean numbers or percentages. I don't mean anything like that. I just mean like broad.
It, essentially, in the way that it's been working for a lot of our new customers, our new friends, is they will have a project. and they come to us and they say, you know, how can you build this? Here's what my client wants. How would you do it? And because I've been doing this long enough, I think there's probably just about every scenario in terms of design and build out that we've done. So I can tell them, oh, we'll do this, this, and this. And I could usually tell them within the same day. It doesn't take me 5 days or a week, or I don't have to give it to a crew of engineers to figure it out. I can tell them from my experience, here's the best way to do it and save your clients some money. And I think that's the key is when I tell our new accounts, I'm treating their client as if they were my own and trying to save them money and make my client look like the hero. That's for whatever reason, that's bizarre to them. They've not seen that before in our industry. So I think that's one of the keys. And then the other is that we just build out the booth, whatever it needs, work with that company, find out exactly what they need from us and provide it and send them on their way. We don't promote the white label really on any of our advertising. We don't really promote it on our website. It's just really word of mouth. And that's been great for us and great for our clients because now they can go out, provide a product to their customers, and they don't have to worry about the overhead of having a shop and designers on hand and know all the noise that's involved with owning a brick and mortar business.
Oh man, it's great. It's a great, great story. Great way that, and I know why it's working because you're adding value and you're helping people in that business mindset. You're right. I've seen that in many industries. And for you to bring that to the trade show industry is just a testament. And I'm excited to see the next stage with this next piece of real estate that you'll be moving into.
Yeah, me too.
So that being said, Theron, if somebody's watching this and they want to follow up and they want to learn more, whether they're a business owner, executive, and they're considering the trade show route for their marketing or they're already showing events and they want a second opinion or a second eye on what they're already doing and can it be better? Or like, as you mentioned, like maybe there's another way that they do it, that they save money or add more value. What's the best way for people to follow up and to connect?
Basically go to our website, Zibeo.com, Xibeo.com, or contact me, at sales@Zibeo.com. And I check my emails regularly and I'm happy to reach out and help just about anybody that's trying to, stand out at a show.
Awesome. And we'll put that information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the link, head right on over to your site. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or listening to an episode or engaging with the platform, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, their story, the reason behind their mission and how they're executing so that we can all learn and grow together. If that's the type of content that's interesting or exciting or meaningful to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Theron, again, thanks again for coming on the show. So excited about this book we'll be launching together.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.